Well, guys, thank you again for being here. We are going to be still in the book of John. We are in chapter 6. So go ahead and open up your Bibles to chapter 6. And just to kind of get you caught up, the main thing that John is trying to teach us is the very personhood of who Jesus is, that Jesus is God come down. He's the Word, the Logos of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He came down, he became flesh, and we found out last week after he fed the 5,000 men and the how many ever women and children were there, that he is also the bread of life. And we found in chapter 4 as he met with the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well, that he is living water. And if we drink from him and we eat from him, that we will have eternal life. And so that's the message John is trying to get across. Several times, I think it was up to 6 or 7 times, we're going to see even more times today, if you believe in me, you will have eternal life. That is a theme that just goes through. If you believe in Christ, you will have eternal life. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, guys, we're going to start in verse 35, and I'm going to read all the way through verse 50. Now, this is a chunk. And there's a lot of stuff in there, but I'm going to break it down to 3 little parts for us so that you'll know like 3 big main topics in here that you can hang on to and that you can say, you know what, I know that I know that I know. Okay, let's read. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on that last day. So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say that I have come down from heaven? And Jesus answered them, do not grumble amongst yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who has sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say, one may eat of it and not die. And I'm going to go on and read 51. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of this world is my flesh. A lot of stuff in there. A lot of stuff, a lot of repeated things. I'm the bread that came down. I came from heaven. I was there. I was there. I know what God looks like. I was there. I come to do his will over and over. That's the theme. What else does he say? If you see me, if you hear me, if you believe me, you will have eternal life. Over and over and over again. These are the themes. What I like about this section here, this is one of the first of the I am statements that Jesus makes. Jesus makes 7 of them in John's gospel. I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I am. And it follows after the story where he feeds the 5,000. But there's a problem that remains. And we kind of hit upon this last week that more people are more interested in the miracles. Jesus, what can you do for me today? Remember, where did Jesus go? So they got in their boats, went to Capernaum, found him there, said, oh, there you are. Hey, we didn't know you were here. What can you do for us today? Unfortunately, a lot of us treat God like that. God, what can you do for me today? Thank you for answering my prayers in the past. Thank you for blessing my life. But you know what? I really need another blessing today. What can you do for me today? The people are more interested in the miracles instead of the one that the miracles point to. They are more interested in filling their bellies or filling their desires or filling their life with stuff rather than feeding their souls. So the first point that Jesus makes is, I am the bread of life. He explains it's not Moses who gave people the bread, but God. It says this in verses 32 through 35 again. It says, he says this, Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said to him, sir, give us this bread. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. I am the bread of life. And then he, even in the section that we study today, he brings back that story of Moses. Because the Jewish people, I mean, they hold on to their traditions. And they hold on to their traditions tightly. Hey, we follow the law. We do what Moses told us to do. After all, Moses fed us in the thing. And Jesus is like, no, no, no. God fed you. Moses didn't feed you the manna. Where do you think Moses came up? He don't know how to cook manna, but God does. You complained about that. You grumbled and complained. So you want meat? I'll give you meat. I'll send so much dove, you're going to vomit it out your nostrils. Oh, you're tired of that? You're thirsty? I'm going to make water come from a rock. Moses didn't do all that. Moses didn't part the Red Sea. God parted the Red Sea. And Jesus is reminding them, okay, you're following all of the laws that were given to Moses that he gave to you, but it wasn't for Moses' sake. It was for the Father's sake. And I'm here to tell you that you eat that bread that Moses gave you, you're going to get hungry and you're going to die. But you eat the bread that I give you, the true living bread, you will have eternal life. You change your focus. John emphasizes this earlier. Jesus is the Logos, the Word of God. He came from heaven to earth. He assumed flesh and he dwelt among us. And Jesus is saying, not only is God the benefactor that did all this stuff for you, he's standing right here in your midst. And if you listen to me, you will have eternal life. Like that thirst-quenching living water, the Holy Spirit gives that eternal life. Jesus is that spiritual bread that we so need. It's not to show when Jesus does the miracles that he could give you all that your heart's desire. You know, it says every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. Everything that we get, everything that we desire, that we are blessed with, the things that we have, our health, our homes, our jobs, these are gifts from God. Not that we could worship the gifts, but we could worship the giver. We can worship the bread of life. And Jesus proclaims, not only am I the bread of life, but I love this as my second point, he is the only bread of life. Jesus is the only way. Verse 43 through 44 say this. Jesus answers them, don't grumble amongst yourselves. No one could come to the Father unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Margie and I had the opportunity Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We went to Tuscaloosa where it was like 100 degrees. Just to visit some friends we hadn't seen in a while. And as we were coming back, you pass a car and it has a bumper sticker that says, coexist. Okay? Now, I did some research on that. And I said the guy that actually did it was a Polish guy for a competition in one of the museums that they had there. And the only thing that was changed on the word coexist were the three main religions. They had the sea with the little thing was the half moon of the Muslim religion. The X was the Star of David for Israel, the Hebrews. And then the T, of course, was the cross of Christ. So it was basically that was it. And so coexist became like, you know, hey, there are three major religions, and this was for, and the guy, when you read the interview, he says, yeah, I did it because there was a huge prize, and, you know, I was kind of proud of my work, and everything. Well, from that, listen, coexist. That sounds like a great idea, right? Can't we all just get along? I mean, that kind of sounds good on paper, right? Can't we all just get along? You know? No. Because you're selfish, I'm selfish, and I'm going to get what I want. You're going to get what you want. We're going to fight like this, like cats and dogs. Coexist. What a nice idea. Except people took it. They kept the C as the Muslim. They turned the O into a peace sign. They turned the E became the Om symbol of Hindu religion. Okay, the X was still the Star of David. E-X-I. The I was nothing, but on top of the I was one of those pentagrams, like for, like, you know, ooh, you know, the satanic kind of worship. The S, man, the S had the two little sections, you know, where it goes like this, and it was the yin and yang. And then, of course, you get to the T, and it was the cross of Christ. So they took the original thing, and they changed it into this. Well, then, coexist still sounds like a good idea. Can't we all get along? No, because all of those things are opposed to each other. And not just that, people started suing each other because they started making their own little coexist. And someone will say, well, you know what? I copyrighted that. I copywrote that. I copyrighted that. And they started fighting, so you couldn't even coexist over a coexist bumper sticker. So we live in a world, how are we going to coexist when we're trying to mix oil and vinegar? It's not going to mix. And Jesus makes a claim. Did you catch this? You know, I kind of read through this fast, but it says, and no one will come to the Father. No one will come to me. No one will come to me unless, in other words, I am the only way. And so when Jesus says he's the only way, if you go back to the Muslim thing and they say, well, you know, Jesus was a great prophet, but he wasn't the great prophet. The great prophet was Muhammad, and he came after Jesus. It's like, well, that's not what Jesus said. You know, the O, the peace, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And it's not just like, hey, peace, man, can we all get along? I mean, I grew up, I was a child of the 60s and the 70s. And, man, we used to draw peace symbols on everything, man. We thought we were so cool. Peace. You know? Now I'm praying for peace. Lord, give us peace. You know? And I don't even get me started on the satanic pentagram thing. I ain't going to go there. But the yin-yang, yeah. This is a whole Eastern monk approach. We're saying that all paths will lead to the summit of the mountain. There are many different paths to get to the summit of the mountain. The problem is, I don't want to end up on a mountain. I want to end up in the house of the Lord. I want to end up where the pearly gates are. I want to end up in heaven. I want to end up in the very presence of God himself, y'all. You can have the mountain. Don't get me wrong. The mountain's beautiful. I love the mountain. But I don't want to end up there. I want to go to the mountain, visit, and say, like, there's some good things about the mountain. And there's some bad things about the mountain. You know, they got bears up in the mountains. You know, there are some bad things in the mountain. There are some good things in the mountain. I don't want to end up in the mountain. I want to end up in the very presence of God. And the only way to get there, Jesus said, is through him. Jesus is the only way through salvation. Okay, point one, he is our bread of life. But point two, he is the only bread of life. Some people are going to try to get you to eat sweet cake. Some people are going to try to tempt you with other bread. Some of y'all like that pumpkin spice, Ashton. Some of y'all like that pumpkin spice. I'm afraid of that. You know, it's like, I don't know. So some people try, and then people try to hey, this is zucchini bread. Isn't zucchini a vegetable? Pumpkin's a vegetable too, so I want my cake to be cake, you know? We're tempted with all of these different flavors, these different things. And at first it all sounds like, yeah, you know what? That would be cool if that was true. What a great idea that we could all just sit in the same room and just kind of hold hands and sing Kumbaya, except some people are going to be offended at the verse you sing for Kumbaya as opposed to their verse. Because we already found out we can't coexist. I mean, socially, we have to coexist. Politically, we should coexist, but it's getting more and more difficult. But spiritually, you should never sacrifice your beliefs if your beliefs are rooted in Jesus Christ. Does that make you narrow-minded? Jesus says, if they hate you, It's because they hated him. Had nothing to do with you. They hated him. Here's, Jesus makes it clear all the way through this passage. Look at verse 53. He says this, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, which means amen, amen, or verily, verily. In other words, listen to this. I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in him. In other words, if you don't take from the bread of life, you don't have life in you. You're filling yourself with just fillers. You're just kind of going through life. Verse 44, it says that we are drawn to God. No one can come to Jesus unless we are drawn to God. And the Methodists have a phrase for that, prevenient grace. In other words, the Holy Spirit begins to do a work in our heart, and we feel that, okay, there's something missing, and we feel this pull from God. See, here's, picture this as a well. I thought about this because I was on a farm this weekend, and we were talking about just different water and how to do this and that. When you pick up water, and you turn it like this, eventually the water just drips down. That's the way we are. We are continually, through gravity to this world, we're being pulled down. We're being pulled into cultural things. We're being pulled into, people tensions. You know, gas came down, right? Gas is like almost a dollar cheaper than it was just a couple weeks ago, and people are still griping about it. You know, we're going to find something to be upset about. Right? You know, and just crazy stuff going on in our world, and we're drawn down into it, and we're in this muck, and we're in this mire, and we can't seem to do anything about it, yet God is the one, when we're trapped in that well, he is the one that pulls the bucket up, and it's his power that's pulling us up. It's his power that's drawing us out of the dirtiness, out of the ugliness, out of the sin, out of the unrighteousness. And God is pulling us up and drawing us into something that's better. It's refreshing. It's new. It's pure. And that's what God is doing, not because we're doing it. It's not on our behalf. Look at verse 37. I just want to go a bunch of these. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will not cast out. I love that. We are being drawn up by God, whose bucket and his rope do all the work. And he does it without fail. God's drawing all of us into his action. And when we feel that resonate in our hearts, then we feel an emptiness without Jesus. We feel a longing in our hearts for the Holy Spirit to begin to do a change in our lives. I've shared this story with you before, that when I first felt the call to go into the ministry, I was a freshman in college, and I remember going to the Methodist minister. It was a Methodist college. Went to the Methodist minister, and I said, hey, I feel God's leading me into the ministry. You know, I've done music ministry. I've done youth ministry, you know, as a teenager and stuff, but I really feel maybe God is calling me into the ministry. And he says, well, let me tell you something, Paul. You're going to come in. You're going to want to set the world on fire. You're going to want to change things. And you're going to come into a congregation where the women sit with their hats on, with their white gloves, and all of them say, like, that's nice. And they just want a short sermon, and they want to get out of there. They don't want their lives changed. And at that point, I said, you know what? I'll go into music. You know, because music, you can change people's emotions, you know. You come in house, you're mad or something, you turn on the radio, you're still mad, you're yelling about the day or the lady that cut you off or the man that did this and blah, blah, blah. You come in the house, you turn on your favorite song, and, you know, after a minute or two, you know, by the third verse, you're like sing along, you're doing this, like, don't worry, be happy. You know, it's just, it all changes. Music has that power, but I'm going to tell you, God has even more power than music. He is the God of music. And so I thought about that comment, and yet when God gets a hold of you and tells you to put you on the journey that, hey, this is where your life is going to go, you can do whatever you can to get out of it, but God's going to keep directing you back into it. And man, when I did music ministry my whole life, And I thought, like, okay, maybe this is it. But then God made my life so miserable. He said, you know what? This is what I want you to do. I want you to start a church. I want you to take them deeper into the Bible. I want you to do this. And I'm like, okay, because everybody wants to do that, right? No. Nobody wants to sit and do Bible study, I found out. It was like, what? Hey, we're going to have a Bible study. Man, we're going to dive in. And people are like, that's nice. And I'm sitting there, you know, I'm like, God, what is this? I've got this desire. I want to see this happen. It's the same thing with our prayer ministry. I want to see our church just filled with people praying. And you know what? People are saying like, that's nice. You just go right ahead and do that, Paul. And I will never take for granted, and I think I used to take this for granted, that the people in the congregation or the people that I'm ministering to or the people that I'm online with the water cooler or whatever, I will never take for granted that they are in a great relationship with Jesus, that they have a thriving relationship. Because if you turn on the news, if you look at what's happening in our world, there are preachers that are defiling the pulpit by their theology and by their actions. These are not men of God. Their behavior is not men of God. And you know what? I've been just as guilty of that. I remember when we first started this church, I was very enamored by a former pastor that I used to work with. I mean, just the way he talked and everything, you thought like, wow, you know, the Bible's coming to life. I thought I had to be him. I tried to craft all of my sermons to be just like him. Well, actually, what I would do is I would go and copy sermons just like he did, you know? And I would do, you know, it didn't work. I had people tell me, say, hey, Paul, you know, thanks, man, but you're not that good at this. And it wasn't until I finally just said, Jesus, what am I doing wrong? And he says, you're doing everything wrong. He said, you're trying to be somebody else. I want you to be mine. And that's when the change happens. And I want that so much for all of us, that Jesus is this bread of life, that Jesus is the only way. We've got to believe that to our core, y'all. And not only that, that Jesus promises this eternal life with him and that he will not cast us out. And I know even in the church circles, we trip over this, you know. Is it, do we have this, you know, once saved, always saved? You know, you hear all of these terms and things like that. You know, you can find verses that are going to support you on each side. Dive in the Bible and find out what you say. But here's what Jesus says. Here's what Jesus says. Verse 37, he says this, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. You do what you want to with that verse. Here's verse 39. He says this, and this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but I will raise it up on the last day. You know what he's raising up on the last day? You and me, okay? Verse 47, he says this, truly, truly, again, amen, amen, verily, verily, I say to you, whoever believes has what? Eternal life. In verse 54, he says this, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has what? Eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Verse 58, going ahead, we weren't even talking about that one today, but it says this, this is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Not a confidence in my own abilities, but a confidence in his promises and his abilities. In John chapter 10, Jesus says this, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Paul says this in the scriptures in Romans chapter 8. He says, for I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels or rulers or things present or things to come or powers or heights or depths or anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, that you can say, once saved, always saved. But here's the thing. You've got to be his. You can't come in and play church and say, you know what, I walked down the aisle a long time ago and I said, yes, Lord, save me from hell. You know, when I was growing up, that's what it was. You know, people would come and they would say, like, if you died tonight, you know where you're going to go? It's like, where? Well, if you don't accept Jesus right now, you're going straight to hell. Well, I didn't want to go to hell. I don't know if y'all did, but I didn't want to go to hell, so I don't want to go to hell. You know how many times I would walk down the aisle? I probably walked down and got saved about 300 times. I don't know. That's probably an exaggeration. But, man, every time he says, if you just, you know, we're going to play just as I am, with you like 16 more times, because I know someone's going to come down the aisle. I'm like, man, I'm coming down the aisle because I don't want to go to hell. That's not what Jesus is about. He doesn't want to save you from hell. He is inviting you into a relationship with him. I mean, I don't want to go to Sandra and Steve's house just because I'm afraid I'm going to miss out on something. I want to go to their house because we're in a relationship with them. You know, I don't want to go in fear. I want to go in, you know, this is my father. I'm adopted into this family, and I love this. And I will not take for granted that all of us are ready. You could be the most faithful church person I know, and you could be just as lost because you're not his. We've got to make that choice. We've got to make that decision. And it's not like a little four-step Roman road thing that here, say this little prayer, now you're in. That may open the door a little bit, but you got to kick that door open because Jesus is standing there ready to receive you. I don't know how clearer or passion filled to make that other than to say we all need Jesus. So what is the applications for us today? Well, I think from the story where he's talking to the, you know, going back to their grumbling, and isn't this the Joseph and Mary son? Who does he think he is? After he just fed them miraculously. They saw the miracles. They saw the lame just get up. You know, the guy, the paralytic that was just down by the water at Bethesda. They see him get up and move. They see people healed. They see blind that can see. They see all this stuff going on. And yet, who is he? Who do they think he is? He's Mary and Joseph's son. No, he's not Mary and Joseph's son. He is God. He is God. So I think we need to seek to serve the Lord rather than seeking to be served by the Lord. Did you catch that? We need to seek to serve God rather than what God can do for us. Yeah, we're going to come to him when we need him. And he says, come with your petitions. Come with your prayers. You know, and we come in the right spirit. And we have not because we ask not. I understand all that. But it's first about that relationship. And it's, if he's our father, what can we do for him? What can we do for his family? And not, what do we get out of this package deal? That's like when I was young and it's like I was saved from hell. I didn't want to go to hell. That's the only reason I wanted to be saved. I didn't really know anything much about Jesus or God or anything else. You know, I'd been growing up in church. I heard all the stories. I thought Moses, you know, looked like Charlton Heston. You put him on that little felt board, you know, that they don't even have anymore. They would put the songs up on an overhead projector, you know, just kind of crazy stuff. I did all of that. But that has nothing to do with the love of Christ and eating that spiritual bread. Jesus said in Matthew that he came to serve, not to be served, and that's our role. A counterexample of all that today are the miracle seekers. What can God do for me? Oh, yeah, I'm part of this church because the pastor one time held out his hand and went like this and so, and all of a sudden I could walk. Or, you know what, we need to raise money for a building program, so what we're going to do is we're going to get a whole bunch of handkerchiefs. We're going to lay our hands on those handkerchiefs, pour a little oil, and if you want one of those handkerchiefs that's been blessed and it's going to heal you, send us $500 and we'll send you one of those and you'll be healed. No, it's the relationship with Jesus. It's not what he can do for you because he's already done everything for you. It's how we can be in a relationship with him. And I think we all have a tendency to do that from time to time, and it leads us to the problem of not serving God. Well, I think another application for us is that to satisfy our spiritual hunger is, what does he say in there several times? We have to come to him and believe in him. You're going to keep searching for the answer until you realize, like Andre Crouch did, that Jesus is the answer. I'm going to keep searching, you know. Yeah, Jesus is great, but I need this. Jesus is great, but isn't there so much more? Jesus is great, but Oprah said this. Jesus is great. Joe Osteen said this. Jesus is great. Robert Shuler said this. Jesus is great. Billy Graham said this. All great people, I'm sure. but they're not Jesus. See what Jesus said. Go to him. Be in a relationship with him. Come to Jesus, repent of your sins, ask forgiveness, and then believe in him. How many of us have sinned today? Raise your hand. That would be all of us. And if you didn't raise your hand, you're lying, and that's a sin. But you know what I'm saying? We are all in need of repentance. It's like, Jesus, man, I screwed up again. I am so sorry. Thank you for loving me. Thank you that the Father is so slow to become angry that he's putting up with my foolishness. That's the God we serve, y'all. That's the God that loves us. And these words of eternal life where Jesus says, I am the bread of life, and no one comes to the Father except through me unless they are drawn. They won't come to me unless they are drawn by the Father, and then they can't get to the Father except through me. He is the only way. You can put coexist on your car, but you cannot put it on your life. Your spiritual life has to be on the one and only true bread, and that's Jesus Christ. Father, I just pray as we close our time together, Father, that we would all taste and see that you are good, that you are God, that you love us so much. Father, that you loved us so much that you sent your very best. You sent Jesus to come and to die for us. And Father, some of us don't even understand the implication of what all that means. Father, I just pray that we would let your words just pour over us this morning and that we would leave here changed. And Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.